Glory, 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 glory. Just bask in his presence for a minute. There's a sweet presence of the Lord in this place tonight. Oh, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, this is the church of expectation. Because if you're expecting God to move in your life, he's going to move. Whatever you came here for tonight, God's going to deliver. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good Lord, I'm going to try to come up out there. If I don't, we'll be here all night. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give the worship a hand clap. Thank you. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good. Now, before I bring the speaker up tonight, I would like Pastor Peggy Monzon to stand up. This is my pastor from New Creation Church Assembly of God in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. I want to give her a warm welcome. If it was not for her showing me what Christ is and who he looks like in the image, and her bearing his image, I would not be here tonight, so I have to honor her. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, before I bring the pastor that's coming up tonight, I just want to say that I have been so blessed to have people around me who have been able to edify me and lift me up and have been walking with the Lord for so long in their life. And they've been able to show me who he is and how to operate in the kingdom of God with effective power. You know, sometimes we get around people in our life and they're not edifying. They're not lifting us up. So I like to look at it as God told me one time, he said that, Jason, your walk is going to be as effective as as how much your relationship blossoms with me and the people that you have around you. Praise God. So you can have people in the outer court, in the inner court, and in the holiest of holies. But if they don't belong in the holiest of holies, you got to shed them off. Sometimes you got to shed some people out of your life because they're not going where God is taking you. Praise God. And Pastor Mark Evie from Living Waters House of Prayer, him and his wife Sandy, they've been so generous to us and so good. And he's a dynamic man, a powerful man of God. And I just want to welcome, give him a warm welcome here tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen, Coroner. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be here with you all today. I appreciate this opportunity to share with you, and I'm excited about the Word of God tonight. I'm excited about seeing all of you, and I just feel the how many feel the presence of the Lord in this place tonight? Amen. Amen. The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. I'd rather be in the presence of God than anything else. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I'd rather be filled with the Holy Ghost any day of the week. Amen. I tried that other stuff, but I don't want it anymore. I want to be in God's presence. Amen. I'm going to introduce my wife to you tonight. I just have to ask her to come up and give a little testimony. She's from this area, from Flint Valley. How many know where Flint Valley is? Amen. I see some of the Stauffer family back there. I stole her from Snyder County. I'm from Northumberland County. And we met at a church, a little country church in Northside, Pennsylvania. Marilyn, that last song that you were playing there, I remember that song when I first got saved, and the presence of God was so powerfully working in my life. 17 years old, senior in high school, and my father had an 8-track tape. How many remember 8-track tapes? And it was by the Ambassadors with Kathleen Lee. Do you remember that? And that song, His Name is Wonderful, was one of my favorite songs. My father would play that tape over and over in our home, and I would sit there, and the power and presence of God would just overwhelm me, like our pastor was saying tonight, how a song touches you. That song touched my life, and it's touched my life tonight. All these years years later, but I met Sandy in a little country church in Dornsife, Pennsylvania. Her family used to go around singing all over the area. Some of you might remember them, the Singing Warrior family. How many remember, any older folks remember the Singing Warrior family? Amen. And she was the youngest of the Warrior family, 9 children, and she was the baby. And I got her. Amen. We've been married almost 45 years now, so I thank God for her. Sandy, give a testimony tonight.
It's good to be with you all tonight. And I just thank and praise God for who he is to me. He's the savior of my soul. He keeps me every day. In the morning when I wake up, the first thing I think about is him. And I just want to live my life for him the best I know how. And I'm looking for the trumpet to sound, and I want to go up in the air to meet him. How many is with me tonight?
Thank you, Sandy. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I have a message tonight. It's burning in my heart. The Lord, actually, a few days ago, when Brother Jason asked me if I would share on Monday night on the revival services you're having here, the word courage came to me very strongly, and I wasn't really sure why at first, but I felt that that's something that we need in the day and age we are living in. So I have a sermon tonight called Now is the Time for Courage, and I'm going to share some Bible scriptures with you tonight. But before I do, I just want to read a couple definitions of the word courage to you, that you can kind of understand where I'm coming from. I'm glad to see some of the young folks here with us tonight. The young fella back there, you know, you young people need to have courage to stand for the Lord today. You people that are still working out there in the working world, you need to have courage to stand up for the Lord today. We're living in a day and age when God's people need to be courageous. Amen. Here's some definitions of the word courage. Courage is bravery, which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness and without fear and depression. Someone who is courageous is strong, alert, sober, without fear, and able to withstand trials and tribulation with patience. And I have a question here. Do you want courage? Are you bold and courageous in sharing your faith in Christ? You know, Brother Jason gave a lot of powerful scriptures last night about who the Holy Spirit is. And one of the things about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit gives us courage. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says that you shall be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Think about that. He gives us power to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit gives us power or boldness or courage to be witnesses for him, that we're not ashamed of him. When I was reading that scripture, I was studying on it today, and I was leaning to go that way with this message, but the Lord kind of held me back from that. But I just got to share a little bit about that, because Peter, if you think about Peter, he was the one, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he was the one that stood up and spoke and gave a great, powerful sermon, and thousands of people came to the Lord that day. And it was only a few short time later or before that where he was denying that he even knew the Lord. Something happened when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He got courage. He got boldness. Amen. He was willing, amen, to stand up for the Lord, where before he was cowering with fear because they were afraid of what was going to happen to him. Courage is special. Here's some other synonyms of courage. Have the courage of one's convictions, acting on one's beliefs despite danger or disapproval. It also means courage makes an effort to do something that frightens one. It takes courage in both hands or nerve to do something that frightens me or you. Amen. We have to have nerve. We have to be willing to overcome that fear that comes against us. Amen. The Bible says that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and love and a sound mind. The Holy Spirit gives us courage. He really does. There's some other words that are similar to courage, and they mean basically the same thing. It's fortitude, guts, nerve, resolution, tenacity. Courage is what makes someone capable of facing extreme danger and difficulty without retreating. It's the courage to confront the enemy head on. It implies not only bravery and a dauntless spirit, but the ability to endure in times of adversity. a mother's courage in the face of her loss. Someone who has guts, a slang word indicating an admirable display of courage when it really counts. Having the guts to stand up to someone that is doing wrong to someone else. How many know we're living in a day and age when we have to have courage to stand up for our children? Come on now. Somebody back there say amen. We need to have courage. God wants us to have courage. He wants us to be, the Bible says that we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we may be able to stand against all the powers of the enemy. Courage is something very much needed in church today. We're living in a day and age, amen, when the church has become weak and we're allowing things to come in because we're afraid to stand up for what the Word of God says. We're seeing it in our churches all across our country today. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. As I was sitting in here last night enjoying the worship and enjoying the message and looking at the young people in the service, I thought to myself, I really like the church here. When I was looking at the young people, you know what I really admired? I'm going to be very honest with you. Amen. It was good to see girls that look like girls and boys that look like boys. Amen. It really was. We're living in a day and age when sometimes people don't know the difference. I talked to a brother in the Lord today that stopped by my church where I'm pastoring, and I was putting up the letters on the sign, and he said something to me. We got to talking. It had started raining, and I got in out of the rain and sat with him for a few minutes, and we began to talk, and he said that he was in a local market the other day, and he said he seen this person in there, and he didn't know whether it was a boy or whether it was a girl, whether it was a man or whether it was a woman. Amen. We should be able to look at the opposite sex and who know who they are. Amen. And we're living in a day and age when people's afraid to say anything because they're going to step on someone's toes. We need that. It's not that we want to be mean or nasty or hateful or spiteful or anything like that. The Bible says that we have to, as Christians, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. We want to tell somebody that they're in error because we love them and we care about them. Sometimes with our children, we speak the truth in love and they don't receive what we're saying because they're being taught other things in other places. But we have to stand up for what the Word of God says and be courageous. Today, right now, is a time for God's children to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Today is the day for God's people to be courageous. Amen. Amen. We have to have courage, amen, to be able to stand up for what's right. You know, when I read that little, and I just want to share this. I don't know why, but this has been burning in my heart 5 or 6 times throughout the day, and I didn't really want to share it, but for some reason, it might be for someone in here tonight. One of the things is having the guts to stand up to one's boss. And when I read that, I thought right away about something that happened to me many years ago. I worked construction for a long time, and I worked heavy highway bridge, road construction, pipeline, did some big building jobs, and I was working down the line down toward Philadelphia, and me and another guy were working the night shift on the turnpike. And we were leaving at 2:30 in the afternoon. You had to get to work by 5 o'clock. We would start work at 5 o'clock, and we would work almost till 7 o'clock in the morning. 14-hour night shift till we got home. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. And me and my friend, we would set up the traffic patterns, and we would be the ones done at setting up the road signs. And then we would go back to the yard, and we would get the truck that had the big saw on it, and we were sawing patches out of the highway at nighttime, and everything that we saw, they had to excavate and had to be filled back in and paved. They were doing base repair and overlay on the turnpike. And the trucks would fly down there 75, 80 miles an hour, blow your hard hat off your head. When we would be done at the end of the night with saw cutting, we had to quit in time for the blacktop crew to come in and pave all the patches. We would go around and we would tear all the signs down, and we'd get done around 7 o'clock in the morning and then drive. It was 101 miles from my house to the job. And we were working there for several weeks, and every week, all of the guys' paychecks were short. One time after another. Do you ever get paid and your check isn't right? How do you like that? It doesn't feel too good, does it? Amen. But our checks would be wrong every week. Not just one or two guys, but almost the whole crew would be short, an hour, 2 hours. And they would go to the superintendent and complain to the superintendent about it. True story. Complain to the superintendent about it. Well, it will be on next week's check. Next week's check would come, and it wouldn't be on there, and you would be another hour or 2 hours short. This went on for about 4 weeks. Well, I was driving a long way, and it didn't make me a happy camper, to be very honest with you, because I always worked hard and give a good day's work. And I was very frustrated about this. So I thought about it. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, this is wrong. Every guy on the job, they were afraid to speak up to the superintendent because work was kind of scarce that year. And they were afraid if they lose their job, they wouldn't have any other job. It was one of them years where there just wasn't a lot of work. So I went into the superintendent the one night before we started, and I got right up to him, and I began to talk to him about what was going on. I said, why don't you put a sign-up sheet in here and make the guy sign in at night and sign out in the morning? That way their checks will be right. The following week, everybody's check was right. They got the checks corrected of the short time that they were shorted, and then from then on, the checks began to get put in the right order. And all the guys were coming up to me and patting me on the back and thanking me for standing up for what was right. Well, I felt good about that. But the next week, punishment came. You know, sometimes when you stand up for what's right, you're going to go through some problems. Amen. Some of you are smiling. You probably have similar stories. So the next week came, and when I went to start setting up the pattern, the head foreman, that was the lead foreman there, which was a friend of ours, by the way. In fact, had talked for me and my friend to get the job there. He come up to me and he said, oh, by the way, when you're done saw cutting and come into the yard at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you're done for the night. The other guys are going to take care of tearing the pattern down. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, that hit. Because I was losing now a couple hours a night in overtime because I had to sit in the truck and wait for my friend to be done so we could ride home together. We were buddying up and riding that long distance together. I'm telling you, you know, sometimes when you do what's right, it's going to hurt you. Sometimes when you do what's right and you're courageous, amen, and you want to do what's right, and you're defending not only yourself, but you're defending other people also, amen, somebody's not going to like that. Well, that superintendent didn't like that. So that was my punishment. I went home from work that next day, and in the afternoon when I got up, I only had about 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and I didn't sleep good in the daytime anyway when I worked night shift. And I talked to the head of our union that was representing the guys on the job and told them what was going on down there. He says, I can't do nothing about that because that's not my area. You're working in someone else's area. But he said, I will tell you one thing. He said, if something comes up, I'll give you a call. I said, that's fine. I just wanted you to be aware of what was going on down there. So anyways, I got off the phone with him. About 2 days goes by, and I get a phone call from the same man, and he says, hey, I got a job for you up here right outside of Danville on Interstate 80. It was about a half hour from my house. And he said, if you want this job, he said, it's yours. He said, all you need to do is show up in the morning, and he said, you probably won't ever have to call me for a job. The rest, because all the guys that worked there had long careers with that company, a blacktop paving company. I said, oh, man, are you serious? He said, yeah. He said, you're starting Monday morning if you want to go there. So I went into that other job, and I told him, I said, today will be my last day here. I got a job about a half hour from home. It was one of the better jobs that I ever had. I really enjoyed working there, and the Lord blessed me. See, when we're faithful, God blesses us. He works things out for his glory. Listen, I'll tell you something. Do you think I wanted to be the guy to stand up for all the fellas there? I really did, and I didn't want to really get involved. But you know what? I felt like I had to. I've always been that way, where I feel sometimes like I got to stand up for what I feel's right. Sometimes people don't understand you. Sometimes people get mad at you. But when we stand up for what we believe is right, amen, we have to be willing to take the repercussions that go along with that. That's what courage is. It's something where we're brave, even though we know we're going to go through things. Another one of the definitions here is fortitude. Fortitude is the most formal of any of these words. It suggests firmness of strength of mind rather than physical bravery. Amen. Think about that. The fortitude to stand up for our beliefs as Christians. We're not going to fight with people, but we're going to stand up for what we believe. Now listen, if the people in the world today are standing up for what they believe and think is okay, and we don't agree with it, they want to jam that down our throat. Come on. But we are not allowed to jam up we believe down their throat. We can't make people believe what we believe as Christians, but we have to. What the Bible teaches us, that we should share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with other people. Once we've done that, then the responsibility is off of our hands, it's upon their hands, and upon their heads whether or not they believe or not, or want to believe or not. Amen. They could reject you or they may accept you. There's some out there that are going to receive what you're saying. There are some that's going to reject, but our job is to shine the light in the darkness. Shine the light in the darkness. It doesn't say we go in the darkness and turn off our light and we become just as dark as the world is. No, we go into the dark places of this world and we shine our light for the glory of God. Amen. And let other people know that Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. Jesus rose again. And Jesus gave everything he did so you could be saved and could spend eternal life with him in heaven. Hallelujah. That's the best news I've heard all day. I'll tell you, you turn on the news and you hear all kind of bad stuff going on in the world today. But when we open our word of God up and read our Bible, amen, there's something special happens down on the inside. God touches us. God strengthens us. God fortifies us. God gives us the ability to be courage even if things are hard and if things are wrong. And we stand up for what we believe because we love God. And we're not going to back down from the things that are in the world that want to destroy us. Yes. Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. The king said in the fire ago, but the fire didn't harm them. They were saved by the fourth man in the furnace, likened unto the Son of God. Hallelujah. Daniel didn't wince. Amen. He still looked toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day like he always had. It didn't stop him from praying to God. And when he went into the lion's den, the angel of the Lord shut the mouth of the lion because he had courage to stand up for the word of God and what he believed. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many believers do we have in the house tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Look with me at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. That was a pretty good introduction, huh? Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm feeling this tonight. Hallelujah. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses ministering, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness that is in Lebanon, even on the great river, the river Euphrates. I could get off on the river Euphrates right now because I'm teaching the book of Revelation. You know, the Euphrates River is drying up as we speak, and it's making room for the people to come in there and march for the final battle of Armageddon. We're living close to the coming of the Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Did Jesus not tell us he would never leave us nor forsake us? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So when you think you're standing up for God and standing up for what's right and you think you're doing it alone, you're not. The Lord is standing there with you. He's on your side. Amen. He's saying to you and I tonight, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Hallelujah. Jesus is with us every step of the way. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I got to stop there just for a moment. I want you just to think about Joshua being a successor of Moses for a minute. Just think about Joshua. Here he's given, amen, this mighty task to go in and inhabit the promised land. Just think about a little bit prior to that. In fact, some years before that, Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went in, amen, to spy out the land of Canaan to see what was there, whether it was like they were told or not. And when they went there, they seen all the wonderful things that was there, but they seen the giants in the land. How many remember the story? Can anybody remember the other spy that came back with a good report? Caleb, Joshua and Caleb. Can anybody remember the names of the other 10? No. No, you ain't going to remember them because they weren't courageous. They weren't brave. Amen. They came back with an evil report. They come back and all they seen was the giants in the land. They didn't see the good things that God had in store for them. You and I are like that sometimes. We, you know, God does something good for us and we just overlook what God had just done and we're already looking at something else. That was the problem with the children of Israel. God had performed miracle after miracle in their life and there they were, amen, murmuring, complaining against Moses, the servant of God. Amen. But here's Joshua ready to go in and take the land and divide it up amongst the 12 tribes. He was called to do something that was hard to do. He was called to go in and do battle against the giants of the land. But the Lord said he'd be with them and he would help them and he would defeat the enemy because he's God. Hallelujah. I want you to know tonight, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that God did not change. Amen. He's the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Amen. The same power that he had back then is still real and available for you and me today. Hallelujah. 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 When Joshua began to go in and conquer the land, it took approximately 7 years to go in and defeat all the enemies that were before them. There was battle after battle after battle. Then Joshua becomes old. Amen. He's an old man now. And we're going to look at what happens to him when he's an old man. Let me finish these couple verses I were just sharing with you. And then we'll move on to a couple more verses. In verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Not a little bit, but really, really courageous. Amen. Don't look at their faces. Don't look at the size. Amen. Do you have a giant in your life today? Amen. That's discouraging you. A giant in your life that's defeating you. A giant in your life. Amen. That is causing you fretting and worrying and stress. Do you have a sickness in your body? Amen. That just seems to be the most thing that you could just think about from day in the morning when you get up till the time. Amen. That you go to bed at night. Amen. I'll tell you something. I want you to know that we go through hardships. We go through trials as Christians. We will suffer tribulation. But I want you to know that we have a promise from God that he will deliver us out of them all. Amen. He will deliver us out of them all. Amen. He's the same. Amen. He's still on the throne. He's just as powerful now as he ever was. Amen. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then you will have prosperous ways, and thou shalt have good success. Listen to me. When we think about this, when we think about the Lord teaching us how we should live, a lot of times people get the attitude, and it's the enemy that gives it to them, that it's not fun to live for the Lord. Listen, it should be a joy and a pleasure to live for God. The way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard because he's trying to do things in his own power, his own way, with his own abilities. But when you submit yourself to God, like you said last night, resist the devil, he has to flee. When he flees, the presence, the joy of the Lord is there permanently with us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. As long as you stay in the center of God's will, as long as you keep his commandments, what we have to do to do in the New Testament. Jesus said we should love the Lord our God with all our mind, our heart, our soul, and our strength, and love as our neighbor as ourselves. And in them two commandments, you fulfill all of the commandments. Amen. You're not going to cheat on your wife. Amen. You're not going to steal and rob somebody. Amen. You're going to love your neighbor. You're going to try to help people. You're going to be kind to people. You're going to want to see them blessed. You're going to want to see them prosper. Amen. You're going to love God, and amen, God will be number one in your life the way that God wants it to be. He demands to have first place in our life, not second or third or fourth. Amen. He wants to be uno number one in our lives. Amen. And when we make him the Lord of our life and we begin to follow after him with all our heart, like Joshua and Caleb did, guess what happens? Prosperity, blessing, favor, the favor of the Lord. I'd rather walk in the favor of the Lord and have all the riches of this world. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And God wants us to have it. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be blessed. Let me say that again. God wants us to be blessed. Amen. No matter what we're going through, knowing he's there, it makes it real, makes it worthwhile. When Paul and Silas were in the prison with the chains on, amen, they began to sing praises to God in the midnight hour, and they were set free. I'll tell you something. There's something about praising God in the difficult times, in the hard times. Amen. That brings victory into our life. Hallelujah. You know, when Joshua and the children of Israel began to go in war against all these other nations, they would send the tribe of Judah first. The tribe of Judah, because Judah, the name Judah means praise. The praisers went first. Why is it important for the worship team to usher in the presence of God? Amen. They usher in the presence of God, as we say tonight. It opens up our hearts. Amen. To receive the word of God and the worship and the word of God go hand in hand, and God can move and do something good. And faith arises, and the enemy has to scatter. Hallelujah. I'm not sure how you're used to worshiping, but I believe in the last days that we're living in. Amen. You need to be a little more exuberant in your worship. Amen. You need to be willing to lift up your hands onto the Lord and praise him. Amen. You need to be willing to shout out to God. Shout out to the Lord with the voice of triumph. It's not about exhibition. It's about demonstrating your love for God by worshiping him and praising him in the sanctuary.
9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to tell you something. Joshua was truly a wonderful man of God. Amen. You know, when Moses went up Mount Sinai, Joshua was the only one even near the place. Did you know that? Amen. He got to be there. Amen. He had a special calling upon his life. I like what Brother Jason said. He said he wants to get around people. Amen. That's going to build him up, and that's true. Amen. But you know something? Sometimes we got to be the person to build someone else up. Amen. And if we're strong and courageous and bold in the Lord, we're able to pick someone else up. My wife and I went up to a little diner in Shemokin early this morning. We were up at, what time were we up today? 3:30 this morning? About our normal time, 4 o'clock. Got ready for the day. Amen. Did our devotion together. We've done our devotion together for years and years and years. And we went up to the little diner for some breakfast. And an old lady that came in there, regularly, get up there maybe once a week, once in a while, twice a week. And when we were in there, her husband, amen, for a little while back, not very long ago, they found out he had brain cancer. He's suffering horribly. Very old man. And she came in a couple times and I seen her and asked how she was, and you could see the tears in her eyes. And she's trying to care for her husband because he's over 90 years old. But they came in there faithfully for years to the little diner. 60-some years of marriage. Amen. And she was heartbroken, and she came in there and sat, and she could, I could tell that she was distraught. And I said to her, Sammy said to her, Rose, how are you doing? And she looked like she was ready to cry. And I went over to her table. A lot of other people in the restaurant, right there sitting all around in just a small place. And I went over to her and said, Rose, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? She opened up her hands to me. I took her by the hand and I began to pray for her. And I know the presence of God touched her. And after she sat down, then she got her composure a little bit, had a little bit of breakfast, headed out for the day. And she thanked my wife and I for praying for her. I want you to know, it don't matter where you're at. You need to be available to pray for someone, to talk to someone, to share the good news that God is with them. Yes. He won't leave them. He'll be with them. He'll help them no matter what, because he loves them. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, church. We have to be ready and willing to share the good news with other people. Amen. We have to be courageous in the day and age we're living in. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 23. Hallelujah. Verses 1 through 6. Joshua is now an old man. Amen. And all the things that God told him to do, he did. And listen to these verses here. And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest on Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all Israel, all the people, all the elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and says unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And if you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Do you know that Jesus is fighting for you and I tonight? The Bible said that when he ascended into heaven, he was seated at God's right hand, where he ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. Amen. He's our intercessor in heaven. He goes to the Father on our behalf because he loves us and cared for us. He did not leave us comfortless, but sent us the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, to lead and guide and direct us in everything that we do. Hallelujah. Have you been following his leading? Amen. Today. Amen. Joshua calls for all of them, and he tells them, you have seen. They were witnesses to the power and glory and majesty of God. You and I, when you got saved, you've been a witness to the power and glory and majesty of God, that God could take you and God could take me and take away our sin and cleanse us of unrighteousness and help us to become the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not righteous because of works we have done. We're righteous because of what he has done. He has made me free. He has set me free. He has made me whole. He has cleansed me and washed me in his precious blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. Amen. God is so good. He supplies what we need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribe, from Jordan with all the nations that have cut off, even under the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive from out of your sight. And you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. Be therefore very and courageous. I'm going to tell you something tonight, God's message to you that are here tonight. Amen. You came out here for a reason. Amen. You came out here to support your church. You came out here to be fresh in the Lord. You came out, amen, all this team that came here to help minister to you, they came out to be a blessing to you. I mean, I hope and pray that the Word of God blesses them as well tonight. Amen. That they walk out of here encouraged. Amen. Listen, we can encourage one another. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God wants to bless His children. God wants to bless you, and He wants to bless me. He wants to touch us tonight. He wants to touch us more than we want to be touched. Let me say that again. He wants to touch us tonight more than we want to be touched. Amen. And He will touch us if we will reach out to Him and say, Lord, touch me. I remember my father-in-law after we did get done preaching. And some of you folks that remember here, my in-law sing, the singing warrior family, when they would sing, Pat would preach some of the time. And he would always like them to end with, He touched me. Oh, how He touched me. I want you to know tonight that God wants to touch you more than you want to be touched. He can't touch you unless you allow Him to. Amen. Think about that, because of your will. You have a will, and you have to choose whether or not you're going to let God touch you. You have to choose whether you're going to open up your heart tonight to receive what He has for you. Yes. You make the choice. He doesn't force us to do it. Joshua said it this way, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I will raise my children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I will raise my children to the best of my ability. Yes, I fail. Yes, I falter. Yes, I stumble. But the Lord's righteous right hand brings me back up again. And He grabs a hold of me. And He upholds me. Amen. He watches over me. He touches me. Amen tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to kind of go back a little bit about Moses. Think about Moses just for a minute. Moses was the one that Joshua came after Moses. But Moses was a man, amen, that spoke to God face to face. The Bible says he was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Think about that. Wow, that's a powerful statement. I love these verses in Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew who he was. Do you know who you are tonight? Do you realize you're a child of the Most High God? You are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Moses knew who he was. Even though he was raised in Egypt's greatest household, where he had all the wealth of Egypt before his hands. Listen what he says. Listen what the Word of God says about him here. This is the faith chapter of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses was a man of courage. Amen. He decided, I'm not gonna be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter any longer. Amen. I'm not. Praise God. Somebody. I feel the presence of God here today. Amen. When Moses was hit in the bulrushes, remember what happened? Amen. He was a goodly child, and his mother said, I'm not gonna throw him in the Nile River to drown him. I'm gonna make a little ark of safety for him, and I'm gonna put it in. And Miriam walked along the river there and watched what would happen to him. shows rather than suffered us afflictions with the people of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I've been teaching on the book of Revelation and Bible study for quite a while now, on Wednesday nights. And people keep saying, I hope the Lord soon comes back. I hope the Lord... How many's ready for the return of the Lord? For the rapture of the church? For the trumpet of God to sound? Okay. But what do we do until then? We got to be prepared. We got to keep sober. We got to be vigilant. We got to keep sharing the gospel of Jesus with other people. There's people out there that need to be saved. You know why the Lord hasn't come back yet? He's not slack concerning his promise. He hasn't returned because there's still people out there that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to be saved.
Yes.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the earth, and everyone have that opportunity. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Amen. Amen. When that happens, then the end shall come. Until then, we have to tarry. We have to be ready. We have to be keeping the commandments of God. We have to be teaching our children.
Feelable. You might have someone in your family that needs a touch from the Lord. I want you to come tonight.